Hi, I'm Christina Crowley-Arkley. I'm a Canadian dairy farmer's daughter, strategic marketing and communications entrepreneur, and your host for Country Guides podcast series. With renewed focus on your farm, your conversation, I sat down with farmers across Canada to talk about their stories of success and failure, what keeps them going every day, and how they're positioning themselves and their farm for generations to come. All right, let's get into it.
Well, Megs, thank you so much for joining us here today. I feel like this is the most long overdue conversation for both of us to be able to chat. So welcome to Country Guides podcast. I feel like the talk that we're going to have today, it's going to go so quickly because I have so many questions to ask you. You have so much to talk about yourself. And of course, the whole premise behind Country Guides around like your farm, your conversations. I mean, this is what you're doing as executive director of Do More Ag is exactly talking about these things that are happening on farm and most importantly, what we're helping our farmers with. So maybe give the audience, because I'm sure maybe they follow you on social media or know who you are or know about Do More Ag, but give us a little bit of the elevator pitch about what you do as the executive director and what Do More Ag is for those of you who may not know.
For sure. And I'll just do a little background on me too, in case anyone doesn't know. So
yeah.
I am a former grain farmer. I used to farm in Southwest Saskatchewan, but I didn't grow up on farm. I grew up in Calgary, Alberta. So I really came to the industry with a lot of, you know, questions or uncertainties, you know, needing to learn. And through that process, became an advocate for the industry, for mental health, you know, moving to a grain farm without knowing anything about it, you quickly learn some of the challenges that are there.
Yeah.
And so I've really brought that background into my role at Do More. And Do More has been around now. We celebrated our fifth birthday this spring, which was exciting. And we came out of a tweet, a direct message 5 years ago. A community in Saskatchewan had just lost a farmer to death by suicide, and they were looking for resources and reached out to Kim Keller. And that really stemmed Do More's launch to do more. So we operate on three pillars. First being awareness, looking to, you know, exactly what we're doing here today, having a conversation, bringing awareness to communities across Canada. Second being community, which we all know, especially post-pandemic, is not just a physical. And in agriculture, we're so good at coming together, creating community, supporting each other. So looking to do that around mental health. And then the third is resources. So helping make sure that people are not only knowing what is out there, but able to easily connect to them and then helping fill any gaps that maybe exist. So we really think about ourselves as the national voice and champion for mental health in Canadian industry. And we're working to change a culture so that we're all empowered and supported to take care of our mental well-being.
I love the perspective that you bring because I feel like it's so unique in terms of like being from the city, coming into the farm, and now then working for essentially all of our Canadian farmers and the industry itself to bring forth a topic on mental health, which, you know, again, share your perspective on like, I feel like 5 years ago, good timing that message came out, or that direct message and the movement that is Do More Ag. But like a decade ago, we were not talking about mental health in agriculture. And it's what's refreshing for me is now farmers are finally saying the words mental health. I guess, like, why do you think that was? Why do you think 10 years ago we weren't talking about it and there was still suicide going on then? And is it like, what happened? Is it we finally woke up? Is it that we finally have the tools now to talk about it? Is that our farmers are a lot more vulnerable and willing to share? Like, what was it that changed this culture change, at least the start of it?
I think it's a combination of everything you mentioned. I mean, farmers, we're stoic, right? We don't necessarily want to show emotion. We deal with a lot of challenges. You could have 1 year where if you're grain farming, you know, my experience, entire crop almost wiped out in 10 minutes, right? And yeah, you just have to be able to get up, pick up the pieces, keep moving. There's always next year. And so we've become very good at just not showing that emotion because we've connected it to weakness, which it's not, pushing things down and just continuing to plow forward with what has to happen, thinking that that's resilience. But true resilience is having our mental health in a good shape to be able to work through all of those things and those emotions that come out of it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really been, you know, I would say the research that the University of Guelph did was a catalyst as well. For the first time, we actually knew what was going on with farmer mental health, and the picture was not great. And their research really stemmed, you know, kind of a chain reaction. So I actually testified in 2018 to the Agriculture Agri-Food Standing Committee on mental health in Canadian agriculture. And what I told them during that time was that after three really hard years of commodity prices being low and the weather not cooperating, that I felt like I was digging my own grave to follow my dreams, and that I felt like I'd failed as a farmer. And so I think, you know, finally we have research to know this is an issue. we have people starting to open up about it. I wasn't the only farmer sharing things. And then you had Dumore coming on the stage as well, saying, we want to make this a priority and not just let it disappear after, you know, the research report is published and the study committee wraps up its findings, right? And so I think Dumore really helped to champion mental health in Canadian agriculture. And then all of those that stood up and started having conversations, and not just on social media, but within their communities or within their families, because it's through those conversations that ultimately we can create the change that we're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, I think from my perspective, it's been so amazing to see, not only do we have the tools like social media, I mean, that's why I do digital marketing, but to see that we had these incredible tools that were allowing these stories and the people like yourself who came out sharing what you were. And I just think of like the Do More Ag board. So many of those people have been incredible champions. I mean, just the timing of all those things at the right time, and that even just mental health in itself in society was getting the conversation that it was. And then to apply it to a sector like, you know, you and I know agriculture and food needed it so badly. It just felt like this incredible time. What is most important, this is where I'd love to spend most of our conversation, is like, so we've talked about it for a long time now. I mean, 5 years, that's incredible. And I'm sure you also went through that phase as an organization where you were new. You were the new kid on the block, the new voice for the movement. And I say movement, but, you know, now you're at the point where I'm sure you're thinking, this is for the long term. We're not just here being new. And, you know, give the audience some of the conversations that you're having as a board, you know, you as an executive director with your staff, about where you want to go and what your organization's doing to make this a long-term conversation.
Ultimately, we'd love to not need to exist. You know, we'd love that. To work ourselves out of a job. That's the end goal, right? But, you know, long-term, we've really focused the last year and a half on getting across Canada, not just being in the prairie provinces. COVID obviously didn't help us with that. So it's been a lot of travel across Canada, talking to producers across Canada, listening to, you know, what are their biggest challenges? What support do they have? What do they need? Taking that back and really trying to create more of that structure around how we approach things. So not just having, you know, the community fund over here where we're bringing mental health literacy into rural communities for free, and then a campaign to bring awareness to mental health and agriculture that's not connected, really working to connect everything, create that structure around, that's kind of who I am, create that structure around things. Ideally, you know, we're starting to talk about starting to expand into the US with some of our initiatives. I had a meeting this past Sunday with farmers from the UK, Netherlands, and Zimbabwe about a campaign we're going to be launching in October. It's called Walk With Me, that actually had its start in the UK. So
amazing.
Really trying to be more collaborative with what we're doing, not just in Canada, but again, how do we amplify what's going on there? How do we, if someone's got a great idea, how can we help either them take it off the ground or, you know, utilize it as well? So one of our focuses has been on that collaboration piece. We have so much more in the mental health and ag space in Canada, which is incredible, and really working to make sure that we understand what everyone's working on so that we're not just existing in our own silos and all working to rebuild the wheel. So with the launch of the CCAW last year, so the Canadian Center for Agriculture Wellbeing, which is Brianna Hagen, who is the incredible researcher from Guelph, and thanks to her and Andrea, why we have statistics, you know, working with them where they're more focused on the research and the program development. And it's like, okay, well, how do we help you guys get that information out there, get those workshops out there? We're co-hosting a summit in November that we're super excited about that is a first. And it is for those in the mental health and agriculture industry, organizations. It could be like AgSafe BC. It could be, you know, Farmer Wellness in PEI, to get everyone around the table and have a conversation about what we're doing, what we can, you know, work on, find synergies. So I would say, you know, the main pieces are keeping our boots on the ground roots, and then just growing that with having more organizational structure and then finding more ways to collaborate and connect as an industry.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are at that stage where it's a good growth problem to have, where you started from infancy. And I think the reason why you guys also have credibility, from what I know, is because the people who you had start this movement were farmers themselves on the ground, hearing from fellow farmers or living through experiences of, you know, suicide in or suicide prevention in their communities. And so farmers and our ag industry knows about you guys because you are firsthand on the ground with the farmers who are on your board, you know, trend spotting, if you will, with what our sector needs to hear. And then you've now tried to put an organization to all of that kind of movement. And so you're in this great kind of growth stage where I'm sure you're like wanting to get so big and do so much with this ideas, but it takes time, money, infrastructure. And so, you know, the average listener, like, I guess when they visit your website or they hear about you, because they've most likely heard about you, what can they do to help? Like, let's help grow this Do More Ag initiative so it can be that longstanding organization that we need, not only in Canada, North America, around the world. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we help support you, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
I love that. A couple different ways for sure. One, start having conversations. Start having conversations with your family, with your friends, being more open about mental health. Start having conversations about, you know, what is out there for supports, about what we're doing. Share, you know, anytime we've got stuff on social, if you can help amplify that message that can get to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, we are mainly industry and individual supported, so you can donate through our website. That's always appreciated. When we put our community fund out, you know, we're always looking for community champions to bring that fund and free workshops and literacy training into rural communities across Canada. But ultimately, just having conversations, helping amplify the message and helping connect people to resources. So maybe you hear or you notice someone around you struggling, maybe sending them a message or sharing something with Do More with them so that they can connect to resources. And yeah, I can't stress enough how, you know, having conversations doesn't, you know, we always say it's better to be talking to someone than talking to no one. So yeah, if you're not at a place where you're comfortable to have a conversation with a mental health professional,
yeah,
having a friend or someone that you can talk to, or you could visit our new Ag Talk platform, Powered by Together All, which is a national peer-to-peer support platform for anyone 16 years and older, fully anonymous. So you don't have to worry about that stigma piece of someone knowing you're on there or sharing anything.
Yeah.
And fully monitored 24/7 by mental health clinicians too. And that's not just there for farmers. It's for anyone connected to the industry. And it is a place, you know, talking back to community where you can go for support and share and post, or you can go there to be a supporter. So you don't just need to get online and sign up. So that would be definitely an action item, you know.
Do you think like in terms of the mental health conversation for our agriculture food industry, like, do you think there's more prevalence of mental health now than there was back in the day? Or is it because, again, we have these tools, we have these people that are amplifying the message that we're just now only hearing about mental health more? Like, I mean, I'd love to hear your perspective on, because a lot of people say, you know, think, well, our industry is always going to have things that are outside of our control, markets, Mother Nature, of course, number one. So I'll never be able to combat mental health the way that someone else has stability in their job. You know what I mean? So, like, is mental health something that's always going to be attached to our sector in the way it is because of what the line of work we're in?
I would say that the challenges are always going to be there. And, you know, what we're seeing with some of the volatility in markets and trade and, you know, extreme weather events. I mean, BC is kind of a case study in the last couple years of, yeah, the, you know, heat dome and fires and massive, yeah, flooding and avian influenza worse than anywhere else. And now fires again, of just those almost once in a 100-year events seem to be more and more frequent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those pieces, I don't see them going away. But as we can get the message out, as we can all learn more about mental health, mental wellness, and I see this as, you know, a lifelong journey. This isn't just show up to a 20-minute workshop and you're like, okay, done, check that box. You know, I'm still working on things.
Yeah.
As we can learn the tools, learn ourselves, be more comfortable being uncomfortable, being vulnerable and having conversations and share, that's when we can start having that true resiliency where all of these things are going to keep happening. We're going to have the stresses. We're going to have those things that are out of our control. But now we're in a better place to understand how to deal with them and how we have to deal with them, whether that means adjusting our boundaries, you know, understanding how important sleep is to us and maybe changing some things. Maybe that means stopping at harvest for dinner and you never did that in the past, but it's a way that you can break down that isolation, recharge your battery,
yeah,
during that busy season. So I would like to believe that with all of the work, all the amazing people that are in the space doing, that we're still going to have those challenges, but we can, as an industry, as individuals, grow ourselves to be more resilient and more able to handle those challenges just because of our understanding of our own mental health and wellness,
yeah,
and breaking down that stigma so that if we do need to, because sometimes you do need to connect to a professional or have medication, that there's not that barrier of the stigma attached to it.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, as we're talking about your farm, your conversations, I mean, this is one of those conversations where I'm sure you're out promoting in the work you do to have these type of conversations on the farm. You know, like, to your point, I know we're busy in harvest season coming up, and I know that we're, you know, that you've got so many decisions to make, but don't make our mental health conversations one of the things that we A, don't talk about, or B, just don't have enough time to talk about. Like, this needs to be a leading conversation in how we do farming now back on the farm, because that's where it starts, right? Like, you think about supporting our family members or supporting the people in our communities who are farmers while they're going through these stressful times. This is how we start. And then it amplifies out beyond us. But you know, I guess in the work you're doing, would you say from what you know from your professional experience, like, is Canada a leader in this, in mental health with farming? Are we behind other countries? Like, where are we to benchmark us? Or does that data even exist to know this conversation, which is clearly the most important conversation you need to have on the farm, that we're even having it around the world?
So we are, you know, we did wrap up a research study this spring, and one of the environmental scans we did was outside of Canada as well to see what is there. I'd say Canada, you know, what we have going on, we are pushing, I'd say maybe not the best out there. I think possibly what Quebec is doing is they have some really cool programs. Mm. They can actually get a farmer off farm into a place to get a break and have people go to their farm and take care of their animals to let them do that. But for sure, I would say what we're doing is pretty incredible. The conversation is starting. Like, I have a good friend in Germany where they're only right now at a place where you go until you're so burnt out, you check yourself into a mental hospital, and you're there until you've learned tools and you're in a better, healthier state of mind. You've recharged and you're able to go back to the farm. Australia has some really cool programs. They have some stuff that's geared towards men as well, understanding that women are more likely to have kind of those friends that they talk to, where men, especially farming, rural men, or farmers are less likely to have that group or to have those conversations.
Yeah.
So it just, there's some really cool things going on. And that's why I like, you know, why we're looking to do this walk with me and in memory of or supporting of someone, because it's that link and that connection to, you know, here's something incredible being done somewhere else. How can we help amplify it? How can we bring it into the country? And then how do we work together through the networks that exist? You know, I'm part of the Global Farmer Network. There's the Nuffield Scholarship, and use those networks to start growing this outward, because mental health in Canada is not just a challenge in Canada. Like, mental health in agriculture, that is a challenge globally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about all of the causality of what can add to that.
Yeah.
That's not going away, right? So how do we help our farmers and ultimately our industry? Like, how do we have such an incredible industry, incredible people, but how do we make sure we have healthy, happy people?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a good point. People, and I say this too, it's like people are what make Canadian agriculture and food what it is. I mean, we have incredible robots, technology, innovation, seeds in the ground doing amazing things. But at the end of the day, it's the people. The people are what make our food system incredible. And if they're not healthy, it doesn't matter how healthy the crops are, how healthy the cows are. And I think that's probably one area as to why this conversation probably has been amplified too, is because campaigns like Bell Let's Talk, where I believe one of your board members, Leslie, has been, you know, part of those things. And it's another way that we can connect with the rest of Canada to say, just like we have one thing in common, which is eating food, and maybe Mother Nature too, our relationship with Mother Nature, but we also have that same relationship with mental health, and we're having the same challenges that you are, you know, in downtown Toronto or Vancouver as we are out in the rural communities. So it's great to hear that you guys are recognizing that you want to help our farming community within Canada, but then you also want to be a global leader, it sounds like, when this is all said and done too.
All of it for me comes down to getting the information out there. You know, if we're doing something that can be helpful somewhere else, how do we do that? How do we get that? How do we connect with someone? Maybe that means, no, here's a, we created QR code stickers to go in equipment cabs. And when scanned, they connect you to the most agricultural specific support line for your province or territory.
Mm.
We're working on bringing that into the U.S. Because again, it's how do you connect people to the oftentimes there's resources that are there, but how do people get connected to them, especially if, you know, they're not necessarily in that state of mind?
Yeah.
And so just, you know, how do we get what has been successful out?
Yes.
End of day, it's, you know, everyone in this space, everyone having conversations, everyone making adjustments, we're all working to save lives.
Yeah. And I guess that would be one of the indicators, I guess, years from now for success, is that if we started seeing suicide rates go down in our country, we could maybe start, again, data mining to see, is this work that we're doing working? Because more people now have those resources and the information in their hands to make decisions that help them in the time that they need them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in terms of like the work that you're doing, because obviously, I mean, you're on this listening tour and you're out amplifying the message, awareness, it's one of your pillars. You know, for you guys 10 years from now as an organization, like, where do you want to be? I mean, I always love thinking about, like, yes, the long-term vision. And then of course you want to work on something 5-10 years from now. So where do you hope to be 10 years from now as an organization with Doomer Ag?
Still boots on the ground, still connected to, you know, the pulse of farmers and what they're going through and what they need. And that might change. That, you know, that's going to be what drives our direction.
Yeah. And so do you think, like, social media, I guess, how much of a tool is it? Like, how much do you foresee it? It's played a huge role in setting up your organization. That's how I first heard about Do More Ag and have met you personally. Where do you see that, like, I guess social media is a tool helping us, or as it gets more convoluted almost, like, it, you know, it, social media can be its own beast on its own, right? And it can also play a role in the amplification of mental health in a good way and also in a bad way too. So where do you see it all going to with Do More Ag?
Social media has been an incredible way for us to connect, for us to share. We have our inaugural ambassadors that are coming on this year, or they've come on, that, you know, they're going to be doing work. We've connected, you know, through social media, a lot of them for the most part. And there's a lot of incredible conversations happening on social media, people being really vulnerable and sharing. And I think we'll continue to see that. And, you know, as a foundation, it's amazing when we can amplify someone else's story, because that's what really connects to individuals, right? And people then feel they're not alone and they feel more comfortable to open up and maybe look at their own mental health. But social media for us also is really important for how we understand what's going on. Sometimes, you know, social media, Twitter has one of the largest user groups of farmers, and that might be where we start hearing that something's going on first. So maybe, you know, if we look at the avian influenza outbreak that happened last year across Canada twice, you know, social was where you were seeing people talk about it. And so then it's like, how do we, it's making sure we take that information and we go back to government or whoever and say, okay, this is going on. Do you have mental health supports when you go on farm and have a conversation about them needing to cull their birds or what have you? So I think social media is powerful. You're right. It can be all sorts of things. So, you know, anyone listening, know your boundaries with it. Sometimes that means shutting off notifications. If you have a bad year, there's a lot of drought in Alberta and Saskatchewan right now. Maybe staying off social media during harvest because you don't need to see other people having great yields. That can be a trigger. But social media, I think, is a really powerful tool for connection and for staying connected and understanding what is there and what's needed.
Do you think as a generation too that we've been a lot more vulnerable in sharing our mental health state and being more self-aware in sharing our failures? I mean, I think to how many people who I know that they you know, share something, you know, about failing that day and they laugh at it and it's part of them being vulnerable but also healthy in their journey of sharing that type of stuff, because that happens to all of us. And but yet you hear of their dad or mom or grandparents who are like, oh, I can't believe you posted that on social media. We didn't do that. Is there something about our generation that maybe has also sparked that conversation of being able to talk about mental health in this vulnerable way?
There's more openness for sure. You know, I do a lot of talking to a lot of different people, and you can definitely tell even just from body language how comfortable someone is with the conversation.
Yeah.
And for sure, our generation is much more comfortable with it. I would say more comfortable with being more open. And I, you know, I personally am loving, especially, as, you know, as a mom to young girls, seeing people be more real on social media, because there, especially when it started, there was a lot of trying to create that, you know,
perfect
life
persona.
Everything is good. I can do everything and I can do it well. And it just, you know,
we're not superwoman.
No, it's not realistic. And so, yeah, I'm loving that people are being more vulnerable and showing up as more of their authentic selves so that we can relate to each other. And again, it, you know, it comes back to connection, right?
Yeah. And it feels like our sector is so incredible at storytelling. We do have some of the best storytellers. They're using social media. We were one of the first industries to get on Twitter. And one of the things I've noticed, at least, is that most of these people who are our, whether we want to call them agriculture influencers or food influencers, or that most of the time they do bring up mental health. Like, they are incredible at sharing their stories, their vulnerabilities, people that they know. And that's kind of part of what I've appreciated about following those people, is they've been very real. There's, you know, the plastic persona, if you will, only lasts for so long before, you know, you want to see the real person. And so we have those incredible storytellers. So I guess for the people who are listening, how can we help? So we, you know, we talked about donating on the website, which is one thing. Is there any more that we can do in terms of, like, talking to community people, talking to government, like anything else you'd put, following people on social media, following Do More Ag? What else can we do to help?
For sure. Yeah. You know, social, amplifying the message, helping share things, helping connect. And it doesn't just need to be for Do More. Like, you know, anyone in the mental health space, helping get what their message is out or connecting people to what they're doing. I think it's always important to have mental health as part of the conversation. Like, I love that we evolved, you know, the Canadian agriculture program to now it's sustainable, because when we talk about sustainability, it's like, wow, now we can talk about the people, we can talk about mental health.
Yeah.
And I think too, just remembering that, and I would love everyone to take this away, but you know, unless we have our mental wellness in a great place, think of yourself as like a cell phone battery. If you're fully charged, you're doing great. If we're not, you know, kind of in the green with our battery of how charged we are, we're not able to show up 100%, whether that's at work, whether that's on farm, whether that's in our families. And so what can you do at home to recharge your battery, do self-maintenance, self-care, whatever you want to call it, but also encourage that culture of being able to prioritize mental wellness in your communities, in your, if you're in government, or bringing that into policy conversations and understanding how could this this decision affect someone's mental wellness, because it does.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, to have high-performing people, high-performing farmers, high-performing individuals, we need to have our batteries charged and we need to be able to be supported in that. So yeah.
One of the best like self-care analogies I heard, besides the idea of like, you know, on an airplane, you put your mask on first before you put it someone else's, is the idea for, and I think a mindset thought leader had shared this, I'd heard it on their podcast where they talked about, if you told your child that you were going to pick them up at 3 o'clock after school, and then you just never showed up for them, imagine how they would feel. And that's it. And then, like, you know, as a parent, you'd be like, oh my gosh, like you can feel that, right? How that would feel for yourself and the kid. And it's kind of like, but apply that thought to yourself.
Yeah, we're not showing up for ourselves.
And like, yeah, like we're not showing up for ourselves. So if you're trying to work on boundaries and you say, you know, today I'm going to make sure I stop and I eat my meal in the field instead of driving around, or I'm going to exercise today for 20 minutes because it's going to help. You have to hold that commitment to yourself. Yeah. And if you don't, then you can't then go help other people if you're not helping yourself. So yes. it's a good point that you got to help yourself first before we can go and ask you to help community, be talking to government, everything. Yeah. Now, you mentioned about this summit coming up this fall. Please tell me more about that, because I feel like, can anyone attend? I feel like that's one thing that we lack in the mental health conversation is we want to do more, and social media is amazing to be on it. But I feel like we do want that personal connection. Even if it's virtually, we want to be like, that's how you and I met. Like, we want to be talking about this conversation even more. So what events can they attend? It sounds like you guys are working on this summit this fall.
So the summit itself is just for those in the mental health space. So it will be invite only. The Canadian Center for Agricultural Wellbeing does have every other year. They do... It's not a summit. There's another word.
Symposium.
Symposium. There we go.
It was in March, right?
Yes.
Of last year. Yeah.
And that's virtual. So that's a really great thing to show up for, because there's panels. There's all sorts. It's a great place to learn just for anyone. You know, I would say head to our website to, again, like how can we bring more information out? The Community Fund is incredible. We run that every year, getting into, you know, across Canada. We started this year, which is new as well. We evolved Talk It Out. And so every month we have a topic. Hmm. And so we've been building a video library on our YouTube channel. And this month is trauma and PTSD. And so we do a video interview with someone who has experience. So we talked to Sean, who's a farmer in Alberta, about his PTSD and finding out that he had trauma he had needed to deal with. And then we do a video interview with someone who's been a supporter or is a supporter. And then we do a video interview with a mental health professional on that topic. And so it's a really great way to hear people's stories, for one, and make that connection, and then learn some stuff that maybe you can bring into your own life. And then we do a live Talk It Out on the last Wednesday of the month, where people can ask questions with that mental health professional. So there, you know, there is so much information out there.
It sounds
just
like
making sure you're trying to connect to it and then, you know, utilize it.
Yeah. And remind people, the website for Do More Ag.
Domore.ag, as in AG.
Yeah, perfect. I was just saying, because it sounds like there's so many things that you're referencing that are incredible resources, and that's where most likely we'd point to people to say, go to Domore.ag to find out where you can access a lot of this stuff.
For sure. You can learn about the Community Fund there. There's mental wellness tips. There's our full resource page there. You can donate. And then, of course, you can connect to the peer-to-peer support platform, AgTalk.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you personally, Megs, because you said something very admirable before where you said, you know, one day when if we put ourselves out of business, we'll know we were successful. And I think that's a very admirable thing to say and to have as obviously as the lofty goal, that if one day you don't have to put yourself in a job where you're talking about mental health for farmers, that will have been success. And I hope to God one day that you are out of a job for the right reasons, right? How do you, I guess, what advice, you know, were you given at some point in time that kind of changed the trajectory of your career in that led you to where you are? Like, I guess, you know, did a mentor share something with you that really landed? Did someone say something to you that like got you to where you are ultimately in this incredible position to be leading this conversation?
I think one of the things that has helped me the most is the understanding that people generally show up to the best of their abilities. And, you know, when you see things through that lens, you can have so much more empathy and compassion and understanding, and it can really help start conversations. So usually, you know, if I think back to my younger years, where I'd be like, oh, like, what is wrong with that person? Like, they're coming across as like, you know, what did I do wrong? Or like, so prickly. And now I have the understanding that probably something else going on there. And is that something that I can help with and support with? You know, especially if you look at like the leadership side, that then allows them to step into what they're trying to do more, because they're, you know, have been able to take care of whatever else, or they felt comfortable having a conversation. So
yeah,
I would say that, and just, again, leaning into the uncomfortable. There's a lot of things that are really important to talk about, but feel uncomfortable, so we shy away from them. Have the uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah, which it's a very admirable thing though too, right? Like, a lot of people don't want to have the uncomfortable conversations. So, I mean, that's even just a good starting point there to say, well, have them. And I'm sure a lot of people would come back to you and say, well, how do I have them? Because it's uncomfortable. But, and I guess
go for a walk.
Go for a walk, yeah. Honestly, like, exercise, movement, you never feel bad afterwards, right?
Well, and with the walking piece, you're not looking straight, you know, we're looking at each other eye to eye. But when you're walking with someone, you're walking beside them. And so it can be a lot easier to have a conversation, and can be a really great tool for meetings too, if you, you know, have a more challenging topic that you want to broach in a meeting or something.
That's a great point. I should recommend my family that any meetings they need to have, go for a walk up the road. And I'm sure there'd be a lot of people driving by saying, what is that family doing walking up the road? But, you know, that is a good, great point, that a lot of our farming community, we don't do those type of things that would probably help, you know, just alleviate, even if it's 5 minutes, just go quickly up the road to talk about something. What advice would you give, Megs, to anyone who's hearing this conversation today and, you know, is looking at you as someone that they want to follow in the same professional career steps? I mean, I think, like, what advice would you give them as to why, because we need more Megs, right? We need more of you. We need this type of movement to eventually put yourself out of business. So how do we get more Megs going in the field? What advice would you give to young professionals?
Find what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Because when you are passionate about something, it is like someone has turned a light on within you. And so the way that you show up, the way that you have a conversation, the way that, you know, you engage, and how you walk away at the end of the day feeling like you've done something, all of that changes when you find something that you're passionate about. For me, it is making this industry better and the people in it healthier. And I have taken many different roles in this industry, from farmer to mechanic at one point to, you know, working in agricultural manufacturing, but that my root connection has been my passion for helping this industry succeed and be healthy. And that for me is what carries me through all of this. So find that thing you can be passionate about, and then it just changes everything.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, and your career, it's so varied in terms of what you've went through, what you've experienced. You've ran in politics, like, I'm talking things that, like, the average person in a lifetime doesn't do. You've did by a certain amount of time in your life, which is so admirable. And it just feels like there's such this incredible movement of people right now, like yourself, led by yourself, the board members on Do More Ag. And that's the reason why this has just become, like, what started out as maybe a talking point or a DM that has now led into a movement that I hope really ends up being the catalyst for change in our sector. Like, we're living through so much change and disruption in the industry. I hope this is the one thing that we say, like, truly kind of broke us in the right way. Mm-hmm. That, like, it was the tipping point to agriculture, food being this different industry.
And I think mental health gives us that bridge, if you will. And I never want to say, you know, the us versus the consumer, we're all consumers. But you know, we can humanize our farmers and our challenges by being open about them, because end of day, everyone goes, you know, through life, there's going to be challenges. And I think that that's, you know, an incredible opportunity for us to be able to connect with those outside of the industry and help them, you know, form more of a compassionate connection and understanding to what we're doing. And, you know, to your earlier comments about the board, I cannot stress enough how, you know, incredible all four of the original founders are, and just what they've continued to do. And now our other four board members, but, you know, it has been the board that built Do More. You know, in the early days, it was Kim and Leslie that were driving around speaking at events.
Yeah,
right?
So it's, they put themselves out of a job, which is great, because they have
Leslie
now,
is
right?
Still speaking, which is amazing, because her story is important. And, you know, her and Matt, their story is incredible to understand how you can evolve your farm to best support and take care of the individuals that are involved in it. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, so I guess for the person who's listening right now who knows that they, I think it would be a good message to leave them that tell your own story. If of course, like there's work to be done each individually. We have to know what our challenges are, where we go to address them, and Do More Ag is an amazing resource to do that. But also start telling your story too, right? Like for farmers who have that social media platform, who get the speaking opportunity in their small town, you don't know who's going to be listening to that talk that's going to then realize that, you know, wow, I need help, or I need to reach out to that person type thing. So these conversations are endless. I mean, I guess for you, what do you challenge people? What call to action can we leave the audience with today that like, this is what I want you to go do, the one thing that you can go do after this conversation to help us all with mental health? And I know that's a very challenging task to say just one thing, but
if I can only choose one thing, I would say check in on someone else and see how they're doing. And maybe say, hey, I've noticed this and this going on. Are you okay? Or how are you feeling? Don't just ask someone how, like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We're not going to open up with that, but
yeah,
take the, you know, reach out, and you might feel a little uncomfortable about it because we're not used to it, and that's okay. You'll get past that and they'll get past that, but truly check in with someone and see how they're doing. Because for me, what I've noticed, and I had someone the other day ask, like, how do you measure success? And it's one conversation at a time, because that is truly how we create cultural change.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like all the right people and the right pieces are coming together in terms of all these organizations that are finally coming up that I appreciate, you know, that you want to collaborate and use the research in the right way. And it sounds like the amount of stuff that Do More Ag is doing in the last 5 years, I even just think like since the pandemic, right? Like it's incredible to see how Do More Ag has evolved as an organization and where you guys are going to go in the next year, let alone the next 5 or 10. Like I think that I feel like this is just the beginning of so much more to come. Could we use it faster and timelier and with more money? Absolutely. And that's why my call action too to people would be like, get invested in some way, whether that's checking on the person, donating, reaching out for the community fund. Like we all have to take a part in this conversation. So I hope everyone listening here today leaves that.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts for the listener in terms of any advice for farmers on farm, what's going on, anything you want to leave with them?
Check in on yourself a couple times a day. Build that habit. So check in on yourself. Are you holding stress somewhere? Is your jaw clenched? Are your shoulders up by your ears? Find a way to release that stress. And just, you know, through checking in on yourself, you're going to get a better idea of like how you are. So are you reacting or are you responding?
Yeah. And just think of like, we grow some of the healthiest food or the best food in the world. Imagine if our people are the healthiest too, right?
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable sector. We already are, but I'm just, you know, just imagine who we're going to be. Well, I really appreciate the time, Megs. I feel like you and I could probably talk about the work you're doing at Do More Ag, who you are as an individual, professionally. I think there's going to be a lot of people listening to the podcast who want to know more about you, if they can find you somewhere, maybe on social media or email, because I think it's people like you who are being champions in the sector that's only going to keep amplifying the message, but also creating these healthier people that we need for our sector. So hats off to you.
Thank you. If you're looking to connect with me directly, I am on social, Megs Reynolds, and my Do More email is Megs, M-E-G-Z, at domore.com or .egg.
Appreciate that you gave us your email, because not every executive director wants to share their contact information with
anyone
us.
Anyone is free to reach out at any time.
Well, because as you said, you never know where that one DM or that one email could lead to of an organization being built. But again, really appreciate the time. I feel like this is the first of many conversations that we're hopefully going to have.
Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Country Guide podcast. Go to country-guide.ca for more great content to spark a conversation, and subscribe to the weekly newsletter to be notified when our next podcast episode is available.